Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The best local sports talk in the Flower City. The John Murphy Show and the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Weekday afternoons on the Sports Leader, ESPN Rochester.
Here in the Sports Bar, Mike Danger, Gene Battaglia. We only talk to the best and the brightest minds in our industry, Gene.
Yeah, that's we're thrilled to have on Vic Carucci from the Buffalo News. He co-authored a book with former Buffalo Bills head coach Wade Phillips called The Son of Bun. Vic, thank you so much for your time today. Just the first question, I've always found Wade to be a fun guy, and I'm looking at this picture on Twitter, and that just kind of says it all right now, where he's thanking the people of Denver that lined up to buy the book, but it's obviously a photo from the Super Bowl rally. Vic, how much fun did you have putting this book together with Wade?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on with you guys. We had a blast doing it, and it really should go that way. This was the ninth collaboration. I've done 10 football books overall in my career, and this is the ninth collaboration, and I would say it was as fun as any to do, and I went in with that expectation. As you said, the Wade Phillips that you perceive him to be is the Wade Phillips that he is, a guy who doesn't take himself too seriously, which is a refreshing change in the world of football, where so many people, maybe pro sports in general, but particularly this game, where, as you guys know, I mean, so many people who are in the coaching ranks, especially, or in the hierarchy of teams, don't often allow themselves to, let the hair down, so to speak, or just be themselves. They feel like they have to assume a certain image in a certain way, and coach speak takes over. That's really not been the case with Wade ever, and especially when he was a head coach. And maybe that's why he wasn't the most successful head coach in the history of the league, because he wasn't more like, say, a Bill Belichick. But honestly, it made the writing the book so much fun.
Yeah, and we'll never see another coach like Wade Phillips in this league. I mean, the way it's gone, you're right. I mean, we've got a lot of robots that just spew out the same cliches over and over again. I mean, the idea of a Wade Phillips or a Bum Phillips or a Jerry Glanville or, you know, coach with real outlandish personalities just doesn't seem like that's going to happen anymore.
No, and really that inspired, I think, as much as anything, Wade to do this book. Number one, when we first talked about it, he said he really wasn't interested in doing the life story, typical run-of-the-mill autobiography that celebrities do in sports and other walks of life. And I could see that. I agreed with his perspective. He said, if we approach this as a tribute to my dad, I think it would make for a much better read, and it would be something that that I, meaning Wade, would find more inspiring and something that more rewarding. So in taking that approach, he wanted to celebrate the very thing we're talking about, that his dad was part of that era where coaches could be themselves. And he talks about this in the book, that he was the genuine deal, a real cowboy, number one. He didn't wear the 10-gallon hat or the cowboy boots on the sidelines for effect. It was who he was. And he said that, obviously, this is back in the 70s when, you know, Tom Landry could wear a fedora on the Cowboys sidelines and other coaches could wear sport coats and hats other than, the official Nike brand team-issued or league-issued material that has to a clothing line that has to be worn so that they can sell more of that. Then it was just about who you were, and he really wanted to celebrate that, and his dad's personality was another part of it. He didn't do corporate speak. He did a very plain spoken, folksy approach to football and to life, and his son Wade followed in those footsteps.
Vic Carucci, the Buffalo News and the co-author of Son of Bum with former Buffalo Bills head coach Wade Phillips. And that was the last time the Buffalo Bills made the playoffs when Wade was the head coach. A tumultuous time when you had Flutie Johnson and certainly a talented team. But the way Wade left Buffalo is today, Vic, is he at peace with how everything happened at the end there?
Yeah, he seems to be at peace with all the changes. Remember, this is a guy who's worked for a lot of different teams, and a lot of different circumstances have led to him moving on. In some cases, it was the chance to move up to something better, and in other cases, it was being fired. And you know, he had that experience early on with his father when he was an assistant coach with the Houston Oilers back in the day in the 70s, and they were a winning team. They had been to back-to-back AFC championships and then lost in the playoffs to the Raiders, and the owner felt that they just weren't making that next step. So even after they had a playoff season, he blew out the whole staff. And we talk about this in the book too, but when it came to Buffalo, which he detailed, he really had high regard for Ralph Wilson, but was honest and forthright about the circumstances that led to his firing, and that was basically that he didn't adhere, or at least Ralph didn't think he adhered to Ralph's wishes of wanting to fire Ronnie Jones as his special teams coach rather than reassign him on the staff, which is what Wade was doing and thought Ralph was aboard with when they had this conversation. Again, this is coming from Wade's end of it, but he described the conversation. He had the dialogue and apparently that isn't what Ralph Wilson understood it to be. So even after telling Wade, you know, go take a trip out to the East-West Shrine game and follow through with your normal schedule after the meeting, at which time Wade wanted to find out what his future was because he kept hearing the rumblings that changes were in the air, Ralph told him, go make the trip. And then they had the phone call, and then that's what led to his ouster. And Ralph wanted to withhold his pay, saying that he quit rather than was fired. Wade contested that and came up with the compelling evidence that he indeed was fired. He got his back pay, although minus interest, and he had to pay his own lawyer's fees. But it all worked out at the end of the day. And as I said, he told me and he said this in the book and has told me this other times away from writing the book, that you can't spend time dwelling on these on what happens with an employer when they fire you or you move on, because it's their team. If you're not the owner of the team, then you are basically at the whim of whatever the owner wants to do, whether it's Ralph Wilson or back in the day, the owner of the Houston Oilers or whoever it might be that was a person that had his own ideas, Jerry Jones, his own ideas of how to run his own team.
Vic Carucci of the Buffalo News making his inaugural visit to the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia here on ESPN Rochester. Vic, it's been an offseason unlike any other for these Buffalo Bills. I mean, can you ever remember as much turnover in an offseason as what we've seen this year? And what's your overall sense now that we're a few months into the Sean McDermott era, at least, and now Brandon Bean and even a surprise hiring yesterday in Brian Gain? What are your thoughts on everything that's gone on so far this offseason with the Bills?
Yeah, you're right. I really match it up with other instances where there's been this much of a changeover in the off season. I've been through the coaching changes before. I've been through GM changes before in the time of covering this team first during my first stint at the Buffalo News for about 17 years. And then this most recent stint since 2014, where in the matter of only three seasons, four seasons, I should say, counting the one that's coming up on my, the third head coach and a second GM. And that's a lot of change in a short amount of time. But to have both coach and GM gone after last season, even though there was a more of a delay with the GM, you could sort of see it coming. I could see it coming, at least with the hiring of Sean McDermott as a head coach, because I felt from the moment he got here he was going to run his own show, and that was made clear, and that's what he's doing. But bringing in Brandon Bean, who seems like the right kind of fit because of how well I think he's going to work with McDermott and how they're going to be aligned and see eye to eye. And then the additional, the plus, as I see it, having a Brian Gain come in with the vast experience he has, and I think taking advantage of the ability to give him the right sort of title as an assistant GM, which amounts to an official promotion. I don't know for a fact, but I would guess that, you know, that there were the appropriate dollars involved to make it worth his while to leave Houston, and the Texans not blocking that because of the right title. And he comes in with, again, a lot of years with a lot of different teams and a lot of good perspective. And then to bring in, to bring him in as director of player personnel, but then to bring in, an additional assistant GM.
Joe Schoen, yes.
Joe Schoen, actually, yeah. from the Dolphins, adds to it. I'm just looking at that triumvirate as probably as strong with the years, with the experience, probably as strong as they've had. When you got to go back to the days. Now, these are unproven men, but you do have to. It reminds me of going back to the days when Bill Polian was here and he taps into a John Butler. We didn't know a lot about John Butler, but we knew he came with a lot of experience as a scout working in the United States Football League. And then an A.J. Smith shows up with his years of experience in scouting and his awareness. At the time, one of his real strengths was scouting the Canadian Football League, and that's how Doug Flutie ended up with the Bills. Things like that, I think, are valuable. The current regime has a long way to go to even be mentioned in the same breath as those other guys, but I like the experience.
Brian Gain was interesting to me yesterday in that the announcement of his hiring was surprising, but then the more I thought about it, I wanted to kind of know, and I can pick your brain about this maybe, Vic. Did Brian Gain have anything to do in his role with the Houston Texans in bringing in that awful Brock Osweiler deal last offseason?
I don't think there's any way of avoiding attachment to a decision. Just as, if we're going to be fair about things, just as we talk about Doug Whaley and E.J. Manuel and saying, well, he wasn't the GM of record, that was Buddy Nix, so how can he have an attachment to Manuel? But the fact was, he did, and a strong one, and he was being groomed for the succession, the line of succession to be the GM. He definitely had a heavy hand in how things were going with the personnel department with the Bills at that time in 2013 and going forward. So if we're going to apply the same rules with him, then I think it's very, very unfair to try to separate Brian Gain from what was a disastrous acquisition for the Texans. The only thing I know about what happened there was that Bill O'Brien didn't want the guy, the head coach, who I think has a pretty good deal of growing sort of power there if he hadn't had it already. But Rick Smith is the general manager. Gain worked with Smith. And so to tell you that I know for a fact how much of an impact Gain had, what his exact role was in Osweiler coming aboard, I couldn't do that. I've asked around and I've tried to get those answers. But I'm not going to sit back and say, oh, well, every good thing that happened there, he was involved in. He probably had nothing to do with a bad thing like that. I mean, that's naive to say that. So,
Vic Carucci, who is the co-author of the book Son of Bum with former Buffalo Bills head coach Wade Phillips, Vic with the Buffalo News, joining us here in the Sports Bar on 95.7 ESPN. With all this change upstairs, Vic, should Bills fans on the field this season brace for a losing season here?
Imagine that you make this much change, especially with the roster. I mean, the people pushing the buttons, that could in fact become an immediate plus. If there's any reason to maybe feel a little more optimistic, it's because you've made those changes, and a coach who I think will be better organized and hold a higher level of accountability, and therefore players will be more tuned into what they're doing, unlike what I saw the last couple of years under Rex Ryan and a staff that I just don't think did a good enough job of connecting with these players. And then the players that were also in place, the overall culture was lacking in that sense of urgency and respect for the people that are running the show. If that's changed, and again, we will only know when we see the results on the field. It's certainly, from what's being said, the right things. Yeah, but that's easy. It's easy to talk about it now. What will the results be? For sure, Sean McDermott's tried to bring in that whole cultural movement, and I think that's a plus. However, You're turning over a good chunk of your defense, you know, replacing two safeties. You're going to have at least one and probably two new people regularly playing the corner position, slot corner position. So those are major moves. And then a scheme, you know, how quickly do players adapt to what Leslie Frazier and Sean McDermott invite there? And on the offensive side, again, new people at receiver, new depth in your backfield, more inclusion probably of the fullback, more perimeter work for your quarterback. But is that, you know, are you maximizing and is Tyrod Taylor bought into the idea that he has a future here? Or does he have every reason to think, like a lot of us do, he's got this one-year trial going on, but really the way this team positioned itself in the draft, adding that pick for 2018, that first rounder in the trade down, aren't they really positioning themselves to maybe get quarterback help a year from now? And all of those things could be, you know, could make it very interesting to see how this year plays out.
And Vic, prior to the draft, we heard a lot of Sean McDermott saying that, you know, this team has adopted a one-voice philosophy. And I don't know if this is us getting to know Brandon Bean more since he's been hired, or if the one-voice philosophy has been thrown out the window because Doug Whaley is no longer with the organization. Which do you think is more true?
I think it had more to do with Whaley still being there and being pretty much muted than it will about how they're going to go forth with Brandon Bean. I don't think it would be in the best interest of Sean McDermott necessarily to keep his GM in so suppressed that, you know, that you'd never hear from the guy and you start raising those questions, those uncomfortable questions for the team that were swirling right up until the time that Doug Whaley was fired. So never to hear from the guy before the draft doesn't seem like that would repeat itself. I think now I don't know that he's going to be as out there as much as certainly the head coach will be. I think it'll be, you know, periodic, but I think it'll be strategic. And if my understanding of the way Sean McDermott wants to do things is correct, it will be tied into the collective message that they want to send. And, you know, okay, I've been saying this, reading from this script, so to speak, and I don't mean it to sound that formal, but presenting these talking points, Sean would say, okay, and then next month or whatever, here's the GM with a couple of appearances to do the same. And I think when training camp comes, you know, hearing him on the different, you know, at the platform to talk with us, and then on the other platforms that the team's affiliated with.
Vic Carucci is the co-author of the book Son of Bum, giving us a few good minutes here. Vic Carucci of the Buffalo News. Vic, before we let you go, I cannot wait to read this book. And I've heard this story. How does Wade tell it? The decision to start Rob Johnson over Doug Flutie in the last playoff game the Buffalo Bills played in that lost to the Tennessee Titans. How does Wade tell the story here?
Yeah, he puts it on Ralph Wilson and says that, you know, he was told by Ralph to make that change, actually Ralph communicating it to John Butler and so forth. But the, you know, the three of them were in on the process, but it emanated from Ralph. And it, you know, the thing about this, what Wade does not do is say, well, he was nuts to want to do this. I totally felt it should have been Flutie, so I'm going to get. No, he doesn't put up. He says he didn't put up any argument about it, and of course, maybe the reason he didn't is because that's the owner, and if the owner says it, it's pointless to fight it. But for his part, Wade gives a very fair appraisal of what the pros of making that move were beyond it coming from the owner. So that's how he explains it, and then he provides some very interesting details on what else went down in Tennessee for those who want to relive the pain. It's all there for you.
Vic Carucci. Wow. We really appreciate you taking some time out this afternoon to join us, Vic. Hope we get the chance to talk to you again soon. Vic Carucci, the Buffalo News, co-author of the book Son of Bum, and we'll link that up on our website as well, ESPNRochester.com, if you missed any of our conversation. Vic, enjoy the rest of your evening, all right?
Thank you. Enjoyed it very much, guys. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Vic.
Vic Carucci at ESPNRochester.com. We'll have that audio for you on demand.
Wow, where do you want to start there? I mean, first of all, that book, I mean, Wade Phillips, to me, he was the head coach last time the Buffalo Bills made the playoffs, and that was a very tumultuous time. But then you go fast forward here to today, and you're asking him questions about the Brian Gaines hire, and you know, he's kind of right along with you there, like, okay, you can't separate the good and the bad from what Brian Gaines did. And what Vic Carucci says is that the head coach, Bill O'Brien, had nothing to do with bringing in Brock Osweiler.
Yeah, and that's what makes me... Listen, I'm excited about the idea that a GM candidate is now your VP of player personnel, but I think really what this comes down to is he interviewed well, the Pegulas liked him, and they probably said, hey, here's enough, you know, well, what's it going to take? And Brandon will get on board and we'll get you in here. And that's what they did. And if this does turn out to be an ill-fated move, you know, I'll remember the idea that, well, he was part of the Houston Texans organization that took on that awful Brock Osweiler deal.
Right. If you brought in Osweiler for nothing, it's just awful because of the money you gave him, right? You couldn't turn the page. But it was also awful because the head coach wasn't on board. Dysfunction.
Yes.
That's part. Yeah. And Vic Carucci also saying that you didn't need Houston's permission for this move by giving him the new title. By rule in the NFL, he could leave from Houston to Buffalo, and there's no tampering, you're free to leave.
No, that was awesome. Can't wait to get that up on ESPNRochester.com in case you missed it. Vic Carucci, the Buffalo News, joining us in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. We return next and serve up the day's top NFL stories in bite-sized form. We call it NFL appetizers. Stay in the sports bar. Danger, Battaglia, ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.